Welcome to the Movie Film Show, featuring the insightful reviews of Mr. Movie and Mr. Phil. This week we review Just Go With It and The Eagle. And now here are Mr. Film and Mr. Movie.
Hello, I'm Mr. Film.
And I'm Mr. Movie. And for our first review, Mr. Film, every year around Valentine's Day, we're subjected to what has been in the past few years, at least one shallow, raunchy, PG-13 rated romantic comedy. And this year, Adam Sandler steps up to the plate with Just Go With It, released by Columbia Pictures.
I swear to God, I could see myself ending up with this girl.
Did you say what I think you just said?
How about I take your number and you can take me out on a proper date?
I got a business card in my pocket.
What's this?
A circle?
Oh! Just tell her the truth.
Well, let me practice. You be her.
Oh, good. Okay, hold on.
I wear this fake wedding ring.
You're a pig. Just tell her you're getting a divorce.
Well, Mr. Film, I'm sorry to say that your moratorium on romantic comedies is probably still justified after seeing this Adam Sandler flick. Look, I don't think this was terrible, probably better than many others as of late. And if you're looking for a date night popcorn movie with your honey, this is at least serviceable. But it's nothing to write home about either. Yes, we get the typical gross-out comedy, but it does seem toned down a bit from what we usually expect, and that's a relief. There are a few good laugh-out-loud genuine jokes here and there, and some good callbacks worthy of a belly laugh from time to time. But the premise here is just stupid. As the trailer indicates, Sandler plays a guy who wears a fake wedding ring to hook up with women so he can love 'em and chuck 'em without regret and without anybody getting hurt. This works fine until he meets the one, or so he thinks, a hot-bodied school teacher named Palmer, played by Brooklyn Decker. Yes, she's attractive, and in all the right places, of course, so one could see why Sandler would go for her. But she's really nothing special because, as we know, real love is more than just about looks. It requires intimacy and a genuine bond and connection. And there's none of that here, and she really only serves the story to set up these ridiculous situations that even a halfway decent liar could have avoided in the first place. Jennifer Aniston here plays Catherine, Sandler's nurse or office manager or whatever. Sandler's a plastic surgeon, which is the butt of many jokes as well, by the way. And there is one funny scene, thanks to a cameo by Kevin Nealon, that riffs on this topic that I found pretty funny, but I digress. Aniston plays the sidekick, platonic friend that helps Sandler in his conquests. And one lie begets another and another, and the next thing we know, Aniston and Sandler are pretending to be a just divorced couple with a couple of kids, romping around Hawaii with the new girlfriend, and oh, who cares? It's all an excuse for us to escape to Hawaii in the middle of winter and show us some hot bodies, right? I mean, it's ridiculous situations compounded upon themselves, and we get a totally unbelievable, lame excuse for a movie that runs a bit long at close to 2 hours. But that being said, the movie does finally come back to what love is all about, that deeper connection and really knowing your partner. So I give it credit for that. And if you like or can at least tolerate Adam Sandler's shtick, then I say give this a try if you're in the mood for a date night movie. I was at the time, and I enjoyed it for what it was, so I'm going to give it a B-, Mr. Film.
Oh, Mr. Movie. I mean, for what it was, terrible. B minus is okay, but you're being too kind here. This is by far the worst film of the year. Mean-spirited, unfunny, unromantic, and just plain dreadful on every level. I swear to God, I was having out-of-body experiences during this dreck. My brain literally was shutting down because of these ridiculously stupid hijinks. There really is not much direct recommend here. Yes, I agree with you. Hawaii and the girls are lovely, but we also have to endure Adam Sandler's meanness and his shallow plastic surgeon. You know, really? Plastic surgeon? Bit. And he doesn't really care about anyone, not even himself. And even on its own terms, the film doesn't work. Aniston's Catherine, who, if she's as smart as she seems, wouldn't have gone along with this tomfoolery. As a matter of fact, she even points out the fatal flaw of the plan early in the film.
Which is obvious, by the way. It's totally obvious that, you know, like, if I want to end up with this woman, the last thing you're going to do is, like, invent these kids. I mean, that's just going to destroy everything. She's going to find out. I mean, it's just totally ridiculous.
It's, Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. And it's not just because it's stupid, but because, frankly, it's sort of job harassment to a certain extent. As a matter of fact, I had kind of a problem with the way their whole office ran. If I went to that plastic surgeon, I'd run in the other direction.
Yeah.
I digress.
Yeah.
The kids, too, are just too perfectly horrible as well. Those kind of movie kids, they just want to ship off to military school for society's own good and just forget about them. So-called school teacher also would have figured out what was going on eventually. And don't even get me started about the idiot cousin and Nicole Kidman's cameo. And note to the Razzies, you have next year's Worst Supporting Actress winner right here. You don't even have to nominate anybody else. Even thinking about any of this is making me get a little woozy. I just hate these kinds of so-called comedies. They're not funny. They're aimed at our basest instincts. And the tacked on happy endings usually come out of nowhere. This one asks us to believe that Sandler and Aniston actually have romantic chemistry, which they don't. However, even though I think everything about this film was horrible and or in bad taste, I have to say that Jennifer Aniston acquitted herself well here. Not a big fan of hers, I'll admit, but I do have to say that she was both lovely and charming in this pretty much thankless role. If she could bring this to a film that works, that had a good script, good direction, and a good co-star, I think she'd be box office gold. So I'm appealing to Hollywood to find something decent for her to do. She has a light, decent comic timing, which could be honed with a good director, and audiences like her. Use her talents correctly, and you'll make money. And my embargo on romantic comedies will be lifted. And I'm sure much to your
relief, yes.
Relief. I'm sure
because that,
much to
that
your
means
relief.
We'll actually get good romantic comedies.
Yeah, well, yeah. The event is, yeah, let's hope. Finally, if you've seen the trailer, you've seen the picture. So you can safely skip it in the theater, wait for it to come out on TV, and only watch the bits with Jennifer Aniston in it. I'm giving this, and only because I like Jennifer Aniston, an F+.
I think that's a little harsh, but I think that your point about Jennifer Aniston is well taken. We saw her in another movie a few months ago with Jason Bateman, and I think we talked about that at the time, that, you know, we both of us actually weren't big fans of Jennifer Aniston, but she kind of pulled through, and I think that she's doing that here too. So, you know, like my evaluation of Ben Affleck and The Company Men that sort of made me take a second look and say, hey, actually, this guy's getting better on screen. And I'm going to take that same approach with Jennifer Aniston. And, you know, I think I'm a little more open to her as being a leading role in a movie. And hopefully Hollywood will put her in something that's more decent than this.
I think it's also nice to see an actress, too, who's older than 23 years old. You know, I think she's almost 40, who's beautiful, funny, smart. And I think stacks up well against, no pun intended, the hot babe who is the object of affection here.
Yeah, Brooklyn Decker, who is incidentally 23. So she does definitely, you know, hold her own against her.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
I think the big thing that really torpedoes this whole thing is just the premise in and of itself. The meanness of the whole film is...
Yeah. All right. What's our next movie, Mr. Phil?
Our next picture is The Eagle, a sword and sandals epic from director Kevin MacDonald.
Our new commander, Marcus Aquila.
Fourth cohort of Gauls, 2nd Legion.
This your first command, sir?
It is.
Ready? On my command!
Well, you knew who his father was.
The man who lost the Eagle of the Ninth.
Not to mention 5,000 men.
The boy's a bad omen.
They say the Eagle's been seen in the far north.
No Roman can survive north of the wall.
One man can hide where an army can't.
It's too risky.
At the beginning of the PG-13 film from Focus Features, Marcus Aquila, a Roman centurion played by Channing Tatum, takes command of a small outpost in Britain, a backwater that no self-respecting Roman legionnaire would want to be stationed at. But Aquila is no ordinary Roman. His father led the 9th Legion into northern Britain 20 years earlier, disappearing along with the Legion's standard, a gold eagle, which dishonored the father. And obviously caused a lot of problems. Aquila, bearing his father's shame by proxy, wants to restore his family's name by either becoming a brave, high-ranking military officer or recapturing the eagle from the northern barbarians. Fate intervenes, as it always does in these sorts of situations, and Aquila is forced to abandon his military career, and along with his less-than-willing slave Eska, played by Jamie Bell, the two head off north looking for the eagle. There, all sorts of mayhem and a lot of hiking ensues, until the master and slave find the eagle and must escape back to civilization with it. The Eagle's a strange film, sort of a Roman Western, with the Romans playing the cowboys and the Britons playing the Indians. The fiercest among them look like they stepped right out of The Last of the Mohicans. I like parts of the film very much, and Channing Tatum and Jamie Bell were fine. They had good buddy chemistry, but overall the film left me a bit cold. Sure, the battle sequences are good, although a little chaotic, very typical modern take on battle stuff. And the acting's good overall, for the most part, but I really couldn't connect with the whole eagle quest. McDonald and screenwriter Jeremy Brock don't really explain why the eagle and the whole family disgrace bit is such a big deal, which undercuts Aquila and by extension Eska's motivations. And motivation has to be well explained in an action film, or you're going to lose the audience. Indeed, Aquila's uncle, played with surprising deftness by Donald Sutherland as paterfamilias, seems to have escaped the disgrace. Why hasn't Aquila? Why is he forced to leave the military when his wounds don't seem to limit him in the big finale? These are questions never posed nor answered. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm a big fan of all the Roman pictures and TV shows that have been circulating lately. But the Eagle just doesn't have that same thing that shows like Rome and even over-the-top ridiculousness like Spartacus has. It has all the right parts, but they just don't coalesce into a story that interested me. I pretty much gave up on the hour and 54-minute film near the end with our heroes on the run from the ninja supernatural-esque Celts, and the ending just was ho-hum, with little tension and little worries that our mismatched team of Roman and slave would get out without a scratch. Frankly, I wanted this to be a nail-biter. Now, I suspect that director McDonald had a slightly different agenda when he was making The Eagle. It's notable that all the Roman characters speak with American accents, are occupying a country that doesn't want them there, and the Romans seem disinterested in the native culture or customs or in sorting things out. The parallels to recent American military adventures are rather strikingly obvious and a little ham-fisted. It really takes away from what I think the real adventure, the story should have been. Now, if you're really craving a period action piece, check out The Eagle. Otherwise, wait for it to come to DVD. I'm going to give The Eagle a charitable B-.
Well, that is really super charitable, Mr. Film. I mean, you know, you're right. Something here feels off. There's something about it that just feels too modern. And
yeah,
and you talked about the motivation of the characters, that it doesn't quite play out right. And I think that's the writing and the directing, more or less. And it ends up feeling like a soap opera in Roman times, I think. And so
yeah,
you just have like one scene after another, and it's a little bit overdramatic, and everything that everybody's talking about, like, we haven't really experienced the conflict that they're trying to illustrate here and dramatize. And
yeah,
so it just feels like either an acting exercise or a soap opera or that kind of thing.
Yeah, you're right. It's a good point. You don't get that real emotional connect. I never really felt a real emotional connection to any of the characters, and that's a real problem.
Yeah,
it's unfortunate because there are some good elements here. I did like Jamie Bell. I actually liked Channing Tatum. I thought they did all right.
Yeah, they did fine. And I think maybe with a stronger script, it would have been even better.
Yeah.
You also mentioned Last of the Mohicans. Even the soundtrack sounds at times a ripoff of Last of the Mohicans. So I think that's a good point. You know, the parallels to today's, I guess that's also something that makes it feel a little bit too modern, because it's like they're trying to say something about American imperialism and whatnot, which I don't really think applies here. And it just feels kind of forced. Someone's trying to force their political view of the world into this picture, and it just doesn't work. It makes it feel too modern. So I'm going to give this a D. All right, that wraps up the show for this week. Next show, we are going to review Unknown, and we'll also chat about the Oscar nominations and whatnot. That should be fun, Mr. Film.
I think it'll be a lot of fun.
Well, that wraps up the show for this week. Please visit our website at www.moviefilmshow.com. You can get all the past episodes and download them from there, subscribe in iTunes, and that kind of thing. And until next show, Mr. Film, I'll see you then.
I'll see you at the next show, Mr. Movie.
if you're looking for a date night popcorn movie with your honey, this is at least serviceable.
I was having out-of-body experiences during this trek because of this ridiculously stupid hijinks.
Even the soundtrack sounds at times a ripoff of Last of the Mohicans.
And you're right. Oh, Mr. Movie, Mr. Movie. I like parts of the film very much, and the fiercest among them look like they step right out of The Last of the Mohicans. And note to the Razzies, you have next year's Worst Supporting Actress winner right here.
And it ends up feeling like a soap opera in Roman times.
And you're right. And even on its own terms, the film doesn't work. Film?
Movie. 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 Movie.
Film. 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 Film.
Movie.
Film.
Movie.
Film. 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 Film.
Movie. Movie. Oh, who cares?
And the ending just was ho-hum.